जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, उपजन वरदारे उपजन वरदारे सुदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सुदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वंद चारे यमुना तीरा वंद चारे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivadikachyana Sutra Satta Sri Srimad Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Surat Prabhupada Kija Shri Prabhupada Founder Acharya Bivitiskon Kija Sama Veta Bhakta Vrinda Kija. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, Chapter 4, which is entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhadev. Text number 17. It's in prose form. And because it was not too long, then Bhakta Marak used the opportunity to also write a Sanskrit. For those who have more easy time to read Sanskrit, I will read it one time and then devotees you like and repeat. Dravya desha kala vaya sradarthik vivido desho paschitai sarvera pi kratubir yato padesham sata kritva iya ja. So some individuals can Arjuna Prabhu, go ahead. Anybody else? Matajis? Word by word translation. Dravya, the ingredients for performing yagya. Desha, the particular place. A holy place or a temple. Kala. The suitable time. Such as springtime. Vaya. The age. Especially youth. Srada. Faith in goodness. Not in passion and ignorance. Ritvik. The priests. Vividha Udesha. Worshipping different demigods. For different purposes. Upashitai. Enriched by. Sarvai, all kinds of, api, certainly, kratubi, by sacrificial ceremonies, yata upadesham, according to the instruction, satakritva, 100 times. Iyaja. He worshipped. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. Lord Rishabhdev performed all kinds of sacrifices 100 times. According to the instructions of the Vedic literatures. Thus, he satisfied Lord Vishnu in every respect. All the rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. They were executed in holy places according to the proper time by priests who were all young and faithful. In this way, Lord Vishnu was worshipped and the prasad was offered to all the demigods. Thus, the functions and festivals were all successful. Please repeat. Lord Rishabhdev performed all kinds of sacrifices 100 times according to the instructions of the Vedic literatures. Thus he satisfied Lord Vishnu in every respect. All the rituals were enriched by first-class ingredients. They were executed in holy places according to the proper time by priests who were all young and faithful. In this way, Lord Vishnu was worshipped and the prasad was offered to all the demigods. Thus the functions and festivals were all successful. Purport. It is said, Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavatam iha. This is quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, first verse. A ritual should be performed by young men, even boys, at a tender age, in order for the ritual to be performed successfully. From childhood, people should be trained in Vedic culture. especially in devotional service. In this way, one can perfect one's life. A Vaishnava does not disrespect the demigods. But on the other hand, he is not so foolish that he accepts each and every demigod as the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is master of all demigods. Therefore, the demigods are his servants. The Vaishnava accepts them as servants of the Supreme Lord, and he worships them directly. In the Brahma Samhita, the important demigods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and even the incarnations and expansions of Lord Krishna, like Mahavishnu, Garbhodakasaya Vishnu, and all the other Vishnu Tattvas, as well as the Shakti Tattvas, like Durga Devi, are all worshipped by the process of worshipping Govinda, with the words Govindam Adipurusham Tam Aham Bhajami. A Vaishnava worships the demigods in relation to Govinda, not independently. Vaishnavas are not so foolish that they consider the demigods independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekale Isvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya. The Supreme Master is Krishna, and all others are his servants. Om Agamati Miranda Shagiram Yasvakaya Shakshurum Britam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Bhishtar Bhutale Shrimate Sattvarup Das Goswami Tinami. Namo Vishnudaya Krishna Bhishtar Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Desatari. So here we are discussing the activities of Lord Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev, who is a descendant of Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata, he had a son, Agnidar, who was married with Purvachiti, and they together got 9 sons. And these 9 sons, they married with the 9 daughters of Meru. So the oldest son of Agnidar was King Nabi. And so he married, the oldest son of Agnidar married with the oldest daughter of Meru, and her name was Meru Devi. So King Nabi and Meru Devi, when they wanted to have a child, knowing the importance of the preparation for begetting a child, they were doing austerities, they were doing yagyas, and they involved the brahmanas in these yagyas. And so they did the yagyas with the aim, with a very high aim, to get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son. So then the Lord came, because the yagya was purely performed, and then the Lord actually promised to take birth in the womb of Meru Devi. And in this way, Rishabdev was born, and when he was born, he had the signs of Vishnu on his lotus feet, and he was a very beautiful child, very beautiful baby, very attractive, very peaceful, very nicely built. His features were very beautiful, and he had these special marks on the soles of his feet. So then King Nabi called him Rishabha. Rishabha means the best or the supreme. That's the meaning of his name. And so here now, of course, in this chapter, it's going very fast. It's the birth is announced, and then Rishabha is trained in Gurukul, and then very quickly, because Rishabha being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, very quickly his father, King Nabi, and Meru Devi, they withdraw themselves from the responsibilities of the kingdom, and they gave it over to Rishabdev, who in this particular verse is also performing yagyas. And Suprabhupada makes the point in the purport that rituals should be performed by young men, even boys at a tender age. From childhood, people should be trained in Vedic culture, especially in devotional service. We also know that a child is innocent. It's like a clean sheet of paper. Not that the child doesn't carry with him. He also carries with him karma from previous lives, but at least in this life, a child can be molded, just like when you make bread, you mold the dough, you put it in a form, and whatever form you put it in, that's how it will look, round, square, French bread, whatever form you make it, that's what it will be. Srila Prabhupada also said that at some occasion, give me any child and I will train it in Krishna consciousness. That's the nature of a child, that it is very easy in following, and that it will adjust to the situation. If it will grow up in a broken up marriage situation where the parents are screaming to each other, then the child will also reap the results of that and will grow up as an unbalanced person with all kinds of hang-ups from the as the result of the product where he was grown in. But you give that same child, you put it in an environment of Krishna consciousness, and you give it knowledge, and you let it learn slokas from Bhagavad Gita, and you bring it, the same child, you bring it to the temple to see the deities on a daily basis, etc., etc. So then that cultivation will result and will have a very strong impact on the rest of his life. We we know that Sri Prabhupada established gurukulis, a number of gurukulis, gurukulas, no, gurukula, yeah. Gurukula is the school. So, guru means the guru, the spiritual master, and kula means the family. So it's like the family of the guru, which is then trained in a family setting. So this, of course, this gurukulas in ISKCON didn't have the nicest history. If we look back, we see that at that time devotees were very much, or leaders were very much concentrated on developing Krishna consciousness, and they wanted the parents also to be involved, to be preachers, to go out to collect Lakshmi for the projects, which were so many because Krishna consciousness just started. So as a result of that, the gurukulas was not given proper attention, was not given, the teachers were not always so qualified. Of course, there are always exceptions also. It's not maybe a general rule, but in general, you see the focus was not so much on the gurukulas, although Sri Prabhupada had given strong statements also, saying that this is most important to educate our children in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness. He had given clear instructions in letters and in giving lectures, etc. So, but some or other, those who were most qualified, they were asked to put their energy into Lakshmi collection and preaching in that form with certain results. And as a result of that, those who were less qualified, who were not so qualified for going out and collecting Lakshmi, then they were asked to take care of the kids. Also, family life in general, it was looked down to a little bit, like it was like a step down. It was like fall down or a step down from, you know, from being brahmachari. And so family life as such was not so much appreciated, and as a result also children were not given the right, the full attention that they deserve. Because when we have children or dependents, then it's our responsibility to help them to make them Krishna conscious. So this was somewhat unbalanced, and as a result, there was physical and mental and sexual abuse was there within our gurukulas, and as a result of that, the schools disappeared. But the principle remains that a gurukula with the teachers, with very qualified teachers who have the quality also of being mother and father and teacher combined, that is very effective on the life of the young boys. and young boys from 5 years onwards, they are actually ready to receive this type of education. And of course, there is playing, there is learning, there is, and the family atmosphere. And that's why it is nice to know that the word kula means family. The family atmosphere combined with qualified teachers who also have care like a mother for the children. So this combined with education and devotional service and learning how to do yagyas and participating in the spiritual programs, etc. This whole combination molds the child and prepares the child for real spiritual life. Because the child may not be able yet to fully consciously take its own decisions. That's why it's a child. But still, the fact that these activities are instilled in the child's life from being very little, even from before 5 years, the child can be, you know, can be playing with Krishna, can be, with a doll, or can be shown pictures, or can appreciate the beauty of the deities in the temple, and can hear the holy name, and etc. etc. So this whole period from baby to grown up young man or young girl, it is a very important and very long lasting period for the rest of their life, which leaves a print afterwards on the rest of the life of that particular young girl, young man, who will then have to take decisions for himself or for herself. But these decisions that he or she will make will be very much influenced by this education, by this upbringing in a Krishna conscious atmosphere. And Srila Prabhupada stresses especially devotion service. Because that's our real goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada, naturally, he is always remembering us to that real point. He wants education to be complete. Now education is focused on knowledge of languages, on knowledge of technical things, on becoming a lawyer or becoming a this or a that. That's all fine as an additional activity, but it should not be the only. It should not be the only activity. It should be a combination of devotional activities and learning also the other things. So the combination, then it is complete. And since that is missing in the schools, universities, etc., then of course we are in a situation that we, besides Bhaktivedanta College, who has this combination, we are in a situation that we have to live with what we have, and we have to make the best out of a bad bargain, so to say. So we do accept, and we try to make the best out of the situation we are in. But the importance cannot be forgotten, and it should also be understood that the Gurukulas, they naturally they will come back, even if for the time being, because we were not mature enough to have Gurukulas and to deal with children in a responsible way. So then temporarily they disappear. But that's a temporary situation. That's not the way how it should be. The way how it should be is that these Gurukulas, they should be there. Because it has such an when it is well done, when it is rightly done, it has such a deep effect on the on the child and on making devotees and making pure devotees. That is the perfect beginning point. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. That's why Rishabdev, although being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as an example for us, he also went through the... He didn't have to go through it, but as an example for us, he also went through Gurukula. The verse where Srila Prabhupada refers to from the Bhagavatam. Is from the seventh canto, with the chapter Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful, because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection." Also in the purpose of Prabhupada says the whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect states of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. And then he goes on to referring to what's happening in the world of today. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb, on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated for sense gratification. Gradually throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, man are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species amongst the 8,400,000 forms of life. In some letters, this is what I will read now, is one letter to Satsvarup Maharaj in 71. "I am specially pleased that your Gurukul project is going forward nicely. I consider that this is one of our most important projects, because people in general are only suffering due to poor fount of knowledge. So if we have facility to give them the right knowledge of how to make an end to suffering condition of life, then we shall be performing the highest type of welfare work. So you can try on this point to convince some rich businessmen, educators, politicians, etc., to help us push forward this Gurukul system for guiding their young children on the right path to becoming sober, upright citizens. And in another letter to Stoka Krishna Prabhu, I have indicated in my previous letter of several days back some hints for giving Krishna consciousness children their proper education. I consider this Gurukul school to be one of our most important aspects of this movement, and it should be given all serious consideration by the members. If we are able to make a whole generation of our children into fine Krishna conscious preachers, that will be the glory of our movement and the glory of your country as well. But if we neglect some or other, and if we lose even one Vaishnava, that is very great loss. So I'm very glad that you're taking your business very seriously, and you may consult always with Satsvarup in all matters of management and policy. And if he cannot answer to your satisfaction, you may also ask me something. For children, it is a long time between 8:45 and 1:30. Therefore, they are naturally hungry long before the lunchtime. If it is convenient, you may add another period for light prasadam between those times. Children should be allowed to eat as much as they like. Therefore, if children are complaining from hunger, we must feed them. On the second point, if someone is coming to our school for the first time, still they must eat what we are eating, namely Krishna Prasad. Yes, everything should be prepared for the pleasure of the Lord, without any other consideration. Our policy is that the children should be so trained that they will enjoy performing austerities. It's not that we shall spoil them at young age by indulging them in sense gratification. If there is obedience, then there will be discipline. And without any discipline, the management is very difficult. So first, obedience by the children. That is not always by punishing or by force, but sometimes by showing the stick without necessarily hitting, and sometimes it is learning how to trick them into obeying you voluntarily and enjoying by their obedience. If there is difficulty for taking the smaller children on Sankirtan, public Sankirtan, there is no need. The smaller children can have their Sankirtan party within the school grounds, and they will enjoy as much. So then another point which Srila Prabhupada makes in the purport here is that with reference to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that although the demigods are important personalities within the activities and management and even creation, still they are all subordinate to the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Ekale Isvara Krishna Ara Sabha Britya, saying the Supreme Master is Krishna and all others are his servants. So all the demigods are servants of the Lord, as we are. Basically, all other living entities are servants. Even Lord Balaram, who is the first expansion of the Lord, and who is completely independent and full of all qualities, still, all he wants to do is to serve Krishna. So, besides Lord Krishna, everybody else either realizes or not realizes. Lord Balaram, that's what he wants to do. Although he is fully independent, he wants to serve Krishna. The demigods, they are also powerful. Sometimes they like to serve Krishna. Sometimes they don't like to serve Krishna. It depends. They have some independent streaks. Like even in this pastime with Lord Rishabhdev, Lord Indra became a little envious of Lord Rishabhdev because he was doing so well. And Lord Indra stopped the rain. But then Lord Rishabhdev, he didn't bother. He, from his own potency, he arranged that the whole globe had sufficient rain. So sometimes the demigods, although they are servants of the Lord, sometimes they, most of the time, they want to serve, and sometimes they don't have some different idea. And we are even worse. The living entities, there it's just upside down. A few want to serve of the living entities, and most living entities don't want to serve. So the closer one comes to Krishna, the more one wants to serve. Between living entities and demigods, certain demigods, other demigods, and then the expansions, like the first example given of Lord Balaram. Srila Prabhupada says, Vaishnavas are not so foolish that they consider the demigods independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So nobody is independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Balaram is, but he doesn't want to be independent. He wants to serve Krishna. And everybody else is... We are all dependent on the Lord. So that's our position, and it will always be like that. It will always remain like that. It's a question of how much do we realize it, how much are we ignorant about it. That is the type of space we have. So I will stop here. Any comments, any questions, discussion? I mean, the Gurukul should have received good qualified teachers. I mean, it's a little bit understandable if in a temple we appoint devotees who are still struggling with the senses, and then because they are not qualified to do good collection, so to say, then we ask them to take care of our children. I mean, retroactive, it's more easy retroactive than on the moment itself, but retroactive, it is because children are very vulnerable. So then the Krishna conscious principles are high, and so one is expected to restrain from with the four principles. At the same time, children are very vulnerable. So and then if a person is weak and we can say not very advanced or weak or struggling with the senses, then to put such a person as the trainer for children, that is playing with fire from the management point of vision. Because children are so vulnerable, so innocent, so they can easily be then, which happened. I mean, that's why there were so many when ISKCON finally opened it up, and they said anybody who has complained, and 450 boys and girls came forward and complained. Some minor incidents, some bigger incidents, some physical abuse, some sexual abuse, some mental abuse. So these were things ISKCON had to face before in order to clean the mistakes, and then we still are not yet. It's not yet that we, because basically, if you see Gurukulas in the world, there are only a few left: Vrindavan, Mayapur, and their things are done proper. There is now CPO, child protection in all places like that. So this is good. This is what needed to be done. So slowly, there can be a new start can be done. And it's a sad story, as you say. It's a sad story, and it's very sad that this happened to our movement, and it's definitely a setback. And Prabhupada was even saying, if one Vaishnava is lost, then what to speak of, hundreds. Because when as a child you have gone through such an experience, things are not anymore the same. Naturally, you're wounded, you're affected, and of course there is karma, this, that, but that's a complicated element. But we have to do the things properly, and then slowly we can take this back up and go forward. Usually we explain that everybody is serving. So even those who have nothing to do, or they don't want to have anything to do with God, they are also serving. They are serving their boss, they are serving their wife, they are washing up the dishes at home, they are, you know, taking care of the kids, they go on shopping, they, you know, everybody, because it's the nature of every living entity to serve. So there we make a conscious decision that serving propensity you cannot change, that everybody can understand that they are serving in some way or other. So that once they accept that they are also serving their boss when they go to work, or the king by paying taxes or whatever, if they accept that principle, then the only difference what we are doing is that we use that serving propensity to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We direct it in as a service to Him. And by doing that, we can become happy, because that is the deep desire within our heart. And of course, there are also some conditioned layers which makes it even for us sometimes more difficult to do that. Or sometimes we interrupt, sometimes we like, sometimes we don't like. So that, you know, people can relate to that. It's okay? Yeah, I mean, it's nice to discuss this topic on you know, with other devotees also. It's an interesting topic. Yes. Yes. Yeah, ultimately, yes, everybody benefits. Everybody benefits by the chanting of the holy name. Everybody benefits by the service. We in the first place, but it's beneficial to the whole universe. Śrī Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrī Śrī Rādhā Gopinātha ki jai, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandī.